Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
How you doing, Stone?
I'm doing pretty well. Finally caught up with some rest from the remote broadcast we did last week. That thing wore me out, man.
I know. That was our record number of interviews in one day.
32 smart, passionate people in one day. That was a lot of interviews.
Right. It was the healthcare consumerism folks, and they did a great job at the Cobb Galleria, and we got to talk to a lot of people regarding healthcare.
So, but this is going to be a very fun and different segment, and we got people calling in even as we get started. We got people fighting that traffic this morning, which was a little bit rough. A little bit later in the program, we're going to hear from Mitch Kaminer and Steve Palm. But first up on the High Velocity Radio Show this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Mr. Dan Forsman. Welcome to the show, man.
It's great to be here, guys.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Now, you are with Prudential Georgia. Am I saying that right?
That's correct. Prudential Georgia Realty.
So what are you guys up to? What's happening in the real estate world, man?
Man, we see lots of cool things happening. We see interest rates staying low. We see we're selling more homes this year than we've ever sold. We continue to lease a lot of properties. And we feel an uptick in consumer optimism, and good things are happening in our company and in the marketplace.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit surprised to hear that, and I've heard that for the last several weeks. We've been doing some of these real estate specials, but I was under the impression that credit was tight and things were hard, and people were getting their homes foreclosed on, and they were, you know, living in trailers out in the helicopter field. So obviously, some of what we're hearing in the mainstream media just it's not accurate. You're telling a very different story, man.
Well, what you're hearing in the mainstream media is what they want to talk about, clearly. We have moved more homes this year than we have in the last 3 years through the end of the first quarter. Foreclosure activity seems to be abating a little bit. We are finding a bottom in real estate prices. There's a lot of investor money out there in the marketplace, which is contributing to the high transaction count. And a lot of those homes that are being bought are being leased. So you got an investor buying them and somebody leasing them.
Now, do you think it's because you're so good? Maybe it's just you.
Hey, baby, speed and leader determines the rate of the pack. And we are setting the standard in Atlanta. You need your home sold, call Prudential Georgia Realty agent. They will get it done. In fact, my agents are selling more homes than any other brokerage in the city. And I think, you know, there's a whole conglomeration of things that we're doing right now to make transactions happen for our clients and customers. And we're just really excited about that stuff.
So it's my understanding, outside looking in, and I'm certainly a layperson, but there really are a lot of things changing, though, in the world of real estate. Can you give our listeners a little bit of a feel for some of the changes that are taking place, the impact that it's having on folks like you and your organization, but also the impact that it's having on just Joe Sixpack out there looking for a house?
Well, Joe Sixpack's going to get a pretty good deal today when he steps into the marketplace, if you go back to from when the recession began. And I call it a recession. Steve Palm may call it a depression, but there's no arguing that we have slid down a big hill. And I hope we've gone from the black diamonds down to the green mark at the bottom of the hill. So, you know, what's happening is you're seeing a continued drop in average sale price. But what's really happening is people have been really negative about selling a home or buying a home over the last couple of years, and that negativity seems to be subsiding in a presidential election campaign year when our government and everybody, you know, associated with the government is throwing everything at the housing market they can muster. So I think there's a lot of cool things happening. Interest rates remain low. Underwriting guidelines, they're not easing up. But I think as prices fall, the amount of money people put down, and there are a lot of people who are stepping into the market who've saved up through the recession and a whole bunch of first-time homebuyers. In fact, over 55% of the closings in Atlanta are under 125,000. And historically, that number's 10%. So there's a big shift happening here in Atlanta.
So now what about the people who have gotten kind of burned by the market and they're like, you know what, I'm done owning, I'm renting because I can't handle that kind of a dramatic drop. And, you know, I'm underwater on something that I thought was going to be my dream home.
I think there's been a lot of strategic default. There's been a lot of people who just walked away from their homes. And, yeah, they're hungover. It's been a crash, man. It is after the boom, there was a bust. You know, we had the big-time housing bubble that occurred in Atlanta. You had a tremendous number of new homes. And people who invested their life dream in a luxury home are finding that, you know, they can do better renting. And so they are. The economics of renting are not real bad. They have no risk of down. You know, they have patient. And, you know, I think, you know, the American dream is alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just where it's happening.
So how do you go about interviewing a potential realtor on either side, the selling or the buying side? This is something I'm going to do, buy or sell a home, what, two, maybe three times in my lifetime. And I, you know, I can be nice, and but I don't know what questions to ask. What am I looking for? What kind of questions should I be asking a realtor?
Well, you know, when someone says, how's the market, there are three segments of the market. It depends what you're buying, whether you're selling, or whether you're leasing. I think if you're selling a home, the key thing to understand is you need a realtor who's got is very integrated in their capabilities. You've got to position a home. You've got to photograph the thing. You've got to market it. You've got to understand pricing. You've got to negotiate it. You've got to come up with a strategy in order to get it out there into the market. So it's a conversation that you need to have with the realtor. Generally, in spite of all the technology, the social media, all the new way to market, people find their realtors through personal referral. They see them out in the marketplace, and the amount of business they've done, inevitably a reticular activator goes off, and they start talking to someone else who bought a home. They talk to their friends. They find three or four names, and then they select. When you're listing a home, you want to go with a market share leader, typically, because that gets the most exposure. I know our listings are shown in more places, we say, than anyone else. I believe that to be true. On the buy side, that's a different deal. You want someone who's been down the path a lot, who's going to be a great negotiator, who's going to be very responsive to your needs. I think consumers who are looking for a home are out on Zillow. They're out on Realtor.com. They're on many different websites. They got a multitude of questions. When they encounter a short sale or a foreclosure, there's a whole nother mirage of questions. So the level of expertise and the questions that are asked by the consumers are pretty strong. I was at a panel at a conference here in Texas a little while ago, and I listened to a consumer panel of 35 and under who just bought their home. And you would think they'd be into all this new kind of marketing, all the social media stuff. They found their realtor the old-fashioned way, and then they used all the technology and all the marketing tools that are out there in the market to find their home and to select their house.
So now you're finding that the people are actually kind of working more in partnership with their real estate broker? That it's not like I'm hiring a real estate person and then I'm just sitting back and waiting for them?
Oh, very clearly. I mean, consumers today are with it. They got the phone apps, they got the Zillow, they got, you know, they're finding homes in very obscure places, and many times the accuracy of the data that they bring to their agents is not accurate. And that's where an agent who's hyper focused in the local market gets it. When you look at Zillow or Trulia or some of these websites that aren't updated all the time, you get inaccurate data. You'll find homes that are supposedly on the market that aren't. And the value of a realtor with that local market knowledge is invaluable.
Now, are there any neighborhoods right now in Atlanta that are better than others?
You know, I get that question all the time. All real estate is local. It is hyper-local. You know, it's dependent on school district. It's dependent on foreclosure activity. It's dependent on new homes activity. You know, I think the great deals in Atlanta, you've got a mirage. You got them at the very high end that have just been absolutely pummeled through the recession with a lot of great foreclosure opportunities. And you've got a lot of appreciation potential down under $150,000 because those homes were valued at over $250,000 and gaining ground on that. And the risk of capital and the cost to own the home is not a huge thing.
And then they're going to raise in value pretty rapidly. If they go up even a little, you're going to have a pretty good return.
That's right. That's the theory anyway, because we've certainly come down. You know, if you go from 300 to 150, you've lost 50%. But if you go from 150 to 225, you've gained 50%. So it's all, you know, it's the math, man.
So as hyper-local as the business is, I get the distinct impression that there is some advantage to having a national presence and an organization as widespread and as deep as a Prudential. Is that an accurate statement in your opinion?
You know, from my opinion, yes. I mean, the advantage is you get a brand who's got standards, and we do. You get a company that's got a distribution strategy, a search engine optimization strategy, a very focused marketing strategy. Our agents are trained a lot. They are coached well. They are well scripted, and they're very knowledgeable as to all the tools that are out there in the marketplace and the best way to meet and exceed client and customer expectation.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a very refreshing perspective on the real estate world in general. I really appreciate you coming in and visiting with us this morning. I want to make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you or some of your agents if they want to have a meaningful conversation around buying or selling a home. What's the best way for them to reach out to you?
The best way to reach me is you can email me at dan.forsman@prudentialga.com, dan.forsman@prudentialga.com, or call my office at 770-992-4100.
Terrific.
And prudentialgeorgia.com is the website?
Yeah, www.prudentialga.com. We're the number one ranked website in Atlanta and Google, and we've worked very hard to get there. We've done it all through SEO work and, you know, just a whole bunch of different things that keep us at the top of people's lists.
Now, you were ranked, congratulations on being ranked number one residential real estate company in Metro Atlanta in the Business Chronicles top 25 residential real estate company lists.
Yes, we attained that ranking in 2010. We acknowledged that again in 20. We were kind of repeat. We did it in 2011. Mm-hmm. The thing I'm most proud about that is the per person productivity in my organization has risen well above the pack from 2008 through 2011. We outperformed the other brokerages in town by 2 transactions per agent, and we're excited about that. Our people are excited about that, and all the realtors in Atlanta, I think, are very excited about where the economy is, and hopefully the clients and customers will engage and get a good deal.
Well, and he also has the best looking tie on the table, don't you think?
I had the only tie on the table, man. Dudes, you know, I'm overdressed.
It's radio.
Although we do no have Mr. Brand Bank over here, so he'll bring some color to the table today.
Yeah, we get the Brand Mortgage guy. We're going to have Richard Darlington on the show a little bit later in the program, and we're going to be visiting with several people in the real estate arena. How about hanging out with us while we visit with some of these other folks, huh?
I would love to hang. These two guys here are fantastic, and you'll have a lively conversation with both of them.
Terrific. Well, and one thing that you mentioned was how important the accuracy of the numbers are. And our next guest is with an organization called Smart Numbers, Mr. Steve Palm. Welcome to the show, man.
How are you doing? It's good to be here.
I'm doing well. So tell us a little bit about Smart Numbers and how you're using the right numbers at the right time to help folks like this.
Well, we're still pretty busy, and also like the Ed, I thought I had a nice pair of jeans on today, but I just want to throw that out there. We're actually very busy these days. We're probably doing most of the build-outs. Most of our numbers are focused on new construction and A&D, acquisition and development. We help Mr. Dan over here with some of his same pertinent information. He has a great builder-developer department. We help them out. But we're seeing actually more positive trends than negative trends. And that's the first time I've said that in about 5 years.
Wow.
So people are building now? Is that what you're saying?
No, they're building.
Let's not get carried away.
They're building in the Golden Triangle. I'm going to go from Peachtree Corners in Gwinnett down to Buckhead, up into Cobb County, Good Cobb County, South Cherokee, all of North Fulton. Those four areas are 70% of all new construction right now, and that should continue. And the reason why, there's a strong correlation between the drop in resale price from 07 to 11. And North Fulton, Forsyth, and Cobb have had the least drop in price. In the same correlation, they've also had absorbed the most high-end lots. 50 to 100,000 have occurred in those areas. What we're seeing is when you have the least amount of disaster, you still have some opportunity for new construction, some lot absorption, and you're steering away from that dreaded ring of death that we created a few years ago, and it's even more of a death zone than we've ever seen before.
Now, you're not getting all this data from the barbershop. You have some sort of proprietary method where you're collecting important information, right? Tell us more about it.
We get all the deeds from the state of Georgia on a weekly basis. We bring them in. Actually, we are in 6 markets. We just opened up our 6th market, Charlotte. We just opened up Smart Numbers 4.0 in November. Fantastic website. And what we're seeing is we bring in the data. We can be in Tupelo, Mississippi, Anchorage, Alaska, and we can bring in these databases. We send them out to kids in colleges and in high schools. They do key punch. They look through the databases. They send it back to us. We make it smart. We take stupid databases and make them smart databases. And then we load it up into our new website, Smart Numbers 4.0.
So you have a proprietary method of gleaning information from all these numbers?
Yes.
Okay, and what is that?
Well, our database probably has...
No, I need the actual algorithm.
I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you, and I don't want to have to... No, what's cool with our database is we maybe have 20 to 25 fixed data fields. But on top of that, we have hundreds of variable or calculated fields. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes your databases go so fast on the web. We can have 1,000 people on our website, and it just flies.
So it's a subscription-based service that a realtor or a realtor office invests in?
Very few realtor offices subscribe. The larger builder-developer services, let's say a Prudential, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. he has some competitors that I don't want to mention because Dan's sitting next to me. But it's mostly, we've really focused, we used to deal with every builder and developer.
Right.
But our new construction's down 80%, and we've probably lost 80% of our builders and developers, and our framers, and our roofers, and our architects, etc. But what happens is, I'm going to say we've probably shifted from that, and we've gone more towards lenders, funds, deal with a lot of the funds looking for homes and building up their fund inventory, and big increases are commercial appraisers, people that are appraising all these large tracts of land,
right.
specs, lots, and they have to use our data. But very few agents actually use our stuff because it's geared for acquisition and development for new construction.
Now, if they're not using your numbers, are they just crunching their own numbers?
I have no idea.
They have dartboards? What are they doing?
No, there's other companies out there that deal with just the specifics of foreclosures. We do forecasting of foreclosures. We watch foreclosures. We actually watch both residential and commercial, and they have dropped off. But at the same time, it's very expensive to foreclose on a property. And if you were to look at our number of homes under contract right now, 20% of them are a pending lender approval, which means it's a short sale. Wow. And it's just growing.
That's a big number.
Now, what about the interest rates? How do the interest rates impact everything?
Well, right now they're an all-time low, maybe a point of a tenth off its all-time low. But it's not a question of if, but when rates will go up. And we have, at our summits that Dan is astute enough to help sponsor our summits that we do every 6 months, started up about a year and a half ago, and we saw signs where if and when we come back, we're going to have heated inflation, and rates will go up. We knew it wouldn't go up before the election. I mean, that was a given. But a good chance maybe first quarter 13, second quarter 13, rates are going to tick up. If you want to buy a home now with cheap cash, you do it right now.
So everybody's looking for a bottom. I'm sure you get asked that all the time. Now, how do you tell when there's a bottom? Do they like ring a bell? They send you an email? How does that work?
Well, I'm actually kind of a numbers dude. And first quarter 12, we hit a new low in price. However, it was lower, let's say, the first 6 weeks versus the last 6 weeks. We actually saw some stability in pricing towards 3, 4, 5 weeks, March, end of February. And what's happened is we are at an all-time low for months of supply of homes that we have not seen in 11 to 12 years. A normal months of supply is 6 months, and we're at 5.3 right now. We are at historic low inventories. We're absorbing more. We have a lot of junk out there, pardon the phrase, but there's a lot of foreclosures, but we're going through them. There's a lot of investors out there. My daughter just bought her fourth rental property at age 27. She bought a foreclosure for her existing home in Vinings. It was over an acre. It was an ex-tennis pro's house. She's got a tennis court in the backyard, over an acre. And if you're in a stable position right now, it's just the investment opportunity of a lifetime.
My daughter just bought her fourth Coach purse.
Yeah, so that's where they have different investment strategies, I think.
Apparently. Okay, Dan, I want you to clock back in for a minute and give us a little bit of a feel from the customer standpoint on this service and how you use it, why you use it, and if and how you think other folks ought to use it.
Well, Steve talks about smart numbers. And, you know, if you don't understand the facts, you want to be confused by the facts. And in terms of home ownership, you want to understand value, price pointing, and trending, and his organization does an outstanding job of that. Something that he mixed into the conversation and you guys talked about were interest rates, but the word that hadn't been thrown on the table yet is a word called affordability. I believe that people are going to look back on the first quarter of this last year and go, man, that was the time to get in, because it's a combo of low interest rate and price point. So if rates today are 4 and they go up to 5, what's just happened to the affordability of a home that you bought? It just went up 25%.
Sure.
Well, the value of the home may not move.
Right.
And so if you're an astute consumer, you are buying now because you are going to deploy cash either when you pay 100% cash or in terms of a mortgage payment. So he's got it right on, man.
Now, Steve, is there any impact in are we getting any foreign investors in the marketplace?
That's a very good question. There's actually a ton of foreign investment, and for the most part, it's almost been commercial.
Like foreign being out like Alabama?
Or foreign.
Where we're coming from? That's
well,
foreign.
Foreign like being Chinese. We found this trend where the Chinese were buying stock. There's a fund out of Canada that is buying up land and lots in Metro Atlanta. They're now into South Carolina. And they buy their stuff through one of our customers, a broker. They disperse it into specific funds, and then they issue stock shares at $10,000 each. Now, they started buying land and lots in 2008. And if anyone knows anything about real estate, if you bought in 2008, it's now worth much less in 2012. And I'm going to say they probably positioned 20% of their initial holdings in it right now. And they have invested $62 million in land and lots.
So that they didn't stop at 2008. They've continued.
Yeah, but they've stopped buying land and lots, but they continue to issue shares because they have to pay dividends, but they can't sell what they've initially bought because it's worth less.
Right.
So this is called a Ponzi scheme. They now have issued shares. Their shares now total over $130 million on $62 million in purchases.
It sounds like the Broadway play The Producers.
There you go.
So talk to us a little bit about your marketing. How do you go out and find the Dans of the world? I mean, now that you're on High Velocity Radio, it's a non-issue. But before today, how did you get the word out?
We just finished uploading. We do the AJC residential database in their website. We've been doing it for like 11 or 12 years. They actually pay us a couple dollars to be advertised on the front page of the Sunday paper. I don't know.
That's a good job if you get it, right?
Yeah, getting nicely done.
And we're in their website. Plus, Dan knows we do a marketing summit every 6 months. We have some great sponsors. We get a large turnout. We get all of our customers, special, like friends, specific people we're looking to.
Like your daughter gets in there?
Right. Well, my daughter, she works for Jamestown. It's one of the best German funds in the nation, and they're a customer. We do a lot of stuff for those people. I mean, they're very, how can I say, anal retentive? No. They really love to have detailed analysis to send back to Germany.
So do you have your next one scheduled yet?
Which next what?
This six-month summit thing?
I believe it's June 13th.
All right. We just want to give you a plug and help you get some folks in that.
He probably doesn't need it. You got enough people attending that?
Really.
You have to be a subscription customer to go to that summit.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Like Dan, love for you to hang out with us while we visit with some other folks.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. But let's make sure that people do know how to get to you before we let you go.
The website?
Contact you.
Smartnumbers.com. And my email is Palm, my last name, Palm, like palm tree, @smartnumbers.com.
All right. Terrific. So next up, Lee, on the High Velocity Radio Show, this is, if you're just now joining us, this is a real estate special and brought to you by the outfit that we visited the last couple months, the Real Estate Connections Atlanta.
Right.
The networking thing that they have over at the Aja. Aha.
Aja?
I don't know. It's like it's a $7 beer.
If you say it fast with a kind of an accent, then it's probably close.
I know the beer's like $7, but
so then you know it's
but
good.
The company's really great, and you get to meet a lot of neat folks. But this gentleman, next on the show, he is the president of the Atlanta Board of Realtors. I suspect he probably knows a thing or two about real estate. We'll find out in a minute. Please welcome to the show, Mitch Kaminer.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, especially in the company of these gentlemen.
Well, you've been very polite, very patient. I've even seen you nod your head a little bit in approval for some of the comments being made. So tell us a little bit about this organization, the Atlanta Board of Realtors. What's the mission and purpose? What are you guys up to?
Well, basically, the Atlanta Board of Realtors is a trade organization helping the real estate profession and being an advocate for private property rights. You know, you think about private property rights, there really isn't any entity in Washington or on the local level that fights for private property rights. The Atlanta Board of Realtors does that in a big way. We also we also support our members, realtors, and I'll get into the definition of a realtor here in a second, but there is a difference between a realtor and a real estate licensee. We're basically a reference point for realtors in the Atlanta area. We do a lot of charity work. We build a Habitat for Humanity house every year, and we pay for it out of sponsorship and fundraising events. We have over 5,000 members. About 4 years ago, we had over 9,000 members. So it's definitely come down a lot, but that's a sign of the times.
Well, before we get too deep in this, can you explain the difference between a realtor and a real estate agent?
Because
you know, for a layperson, I always thought they were the same.
Right, and that's a great question, and I want to explain that. All realtors out there are real estate licensees.
Okay.
But not all real estate licensees are realtors.
Okay.
Okay. Realtors have made a decision to differentiate themselves by investing in their career and supporting their profession,
okay.
Which means that they are a member of the local board, the Atlanta Board of Realtors. And by doing so, you are also a member of the GAR, which is the Georgia Association of Realtors. And you are also a part of your dues go to NAR, which is the National Association of Realtors. So you are part of this huge machine out there fighting for realtors' rights and fighting for property owners' rights, private property rights.
So this is somebody that's taking their career a little more seriously, you think?
Absolutely. Do you realize in Atlanta, this is last year, in Atlanta, over 80% of the transactions were done by realtors. Okay, and as far as the amount of realtors to licensees out there, there are more real estate licensees out there than there are realtors.
So, like, anybody could be a real estate over the weekend, could I go online and then type in something and pay a couple $100 and then I get to be a real estate agent?
You got to go to school. You got to go to school. But after you go to school, you get your license. Yes, and you could be a real estate licensee. Realtors take quadrennial training, which means every 4 years they have to go through ethics training. To keep up their...
Like some continuing education.
There's a differentiator
Absolutely. Yeah, ethics. There you go.
That's important.
And we do a great job in that. Realtors have designations. They get designations. They take classes to better themselves so they can better their client. They can help their clients better. It's just a lot of things, and also, you know, it's a sign. It shows that people, if you're a realtor, it shows that you're serious about what you do,
right?
And it shows that you want it. You're investing in your career,
right? It's not something I'm just doing to sell a house to my tennis team every once in a while.
That's exactly right. You know, it's exactly right, and it's very important that all real estate licensees become realtors, because we need the political advocacy. We need the membership to drive home what we need to have done.
Now, why was it important for you, being a realtor, to not only become a realtor but also to become president of the Atlanta Board of Realtors? Well, like, why do you want to get involved?
He drew the short straw.
You lost the bet.
That's a great question. I'll tell you a little bit about my story. Started selling real estate back in '94. Prior to that, I flew in the Air Force as a flight engineer, and then I was out of the service after Desert Storm. I decided to get out. I was enough playing soldier. I'm done. And got a job with Delta Airlines. Got furloughed 2 years later. Good friend of mine, Harvard grad, said, "Mitch, if you do anything in your life, get into sales because you would be great at it." So I said, "Okay, well, what can I sell?" So here I am, a New Yorker coming down to Atlanta,
trying to blend,
sell houses to Southerners. But you know what? It worked. My first year in real estate, I sold 28 homes. I was like, "Well, this is good,
is easy."
Then Delta called me back and they said, "We have another job for you." I go, "No,
no, thanks."
So about 7 years into my real estate career, I was doing so well in real estate, I decided to give back. I decided I needed to give back to my real estate profession. I wanted to get out of my box a little bit. So I joined the Atlanta Board of Realtors Leadership Development Class, which is basically just, you know, it just betters yourself. It gives you the skills to do public speaking and tells you your personality types and
right.
Team building. It's just a great way just to better yourself through the Atlanta Board of Realtors Leadership Development Class. So I took that class. It's a year-long class. Towards November, December of that year, I'm driving in my car, and I get a phone call. And coincidentally enough, I get a phone call from this man right here, Mr. Dan Forsman.
Really?
Yeah, owner of Prudential. Says,
so it's all his fault.
It's all his fault. He says, "Mitch, you know, we were in the same leadership development class together over the past year." And I said, "We were?"
He goes, "Made quite an impression that day."
Yeah, well, we were all students, so we didn't know really.
Okay.
Really, so He goes, I'm going to be president of the Atlanta board next year, and I would. You really stood out in that class, and I think you would be a great leader, and I would like you to chair one of my committees. So I said, okay, this is what I signed up for, so let's do it.
So now we know he can sell, too.
Right.
You said you can sell. I think Dan can sell, too.
Oh, that man can sell. that man can sell. So I started as a chairman of one of the committees, went to another committee next year, vice president for 4 years, and then somebody there decided that, hey, I could be president. So I was nominated and elected president for 2012. And, you know, I got to tell you, this job doesn't pay. You know, it doesn't pay monetarily. But I tell you what, it gives me back tenfold over. I cannot tell you what this position has done for me. Growing my professional career, growing my personal life, making me just a better talker. A better person in every sense of the word. It's just fantastic.
Now, what do you do on a daily basis?
Well, I get up about 11 in the morning.
That's about right. Turn your phone off. Right? First play of a real estate person, right? Turn your phone off.
But by the way, I do have to say this. I am a real estate agent. I do buy and sell real estate. I am with REMAX Paramount Properties.
Okay, so you're active still
as a
realtor.
I am.
And not in addition to this.
Which is a little bit unusual for a presidency of the Atlanta Board of Realtors, because typically, historically, they have put brokers, owners or brokers, people who ran companies and offices in that position. So I don't take this lightly, and I'm very humbled by the position. But anyway, getting back to my daily routine. I tell my clients this. I say, listen, if you want to call me and leave me a voice message specifically, you need to call me before 7:15 in the morning, because at 7:15 in the morning and on, I will answer the phone. And that's me. That's my military background, my upbringing. I'm in the office at 7:15 in the morning, and I start my day at 7:15.
Mm-hmm. So that's a little later for you than your military, right? So you get to sleep right in a little.
Well, when I flew in the Air Force, I didn't know what date. It was, you know, I'll tell you a real fast story. During Desert Storm, I flew 900 flying hours in 1 year, and I was in a different country probably every couple of hours for a year. and there were times where I woke up in bed, and the clock said 7 o'clock, and it was dark outside. And I would have to lay there and go, first of all, 7 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock at night. What country am I in? Yeah, all the time. So I'm well versed in that. And, you know, this Atlanta board gig, presidency, it does a lot. It takes up a lot of time. But, again, it's well worth it, and I'm glad I'm doing it.
So we were talking about numbers earlier with both of our previous guests. Tell us a little bit about these Case-Shiller numbers. What's that all about?
Okay, Case-Shiller. Well, first of all, let me say this. Case-Shiller are numbers that come out. They're indexes that come out every month. They lag 3 months behind because they need to collect all the data and get it all in so they're accurate numbers. The issue with Case-Shiller for the Atlanta area, and this is very important. So when you see these Case-Shiller numbers published out there in the papers, wherever it is, wherever you see it, that metro Atlanta area is taking 23 counties into account, okay, which means that go from Atlanta all the way to the Alabama border, okay? So it's a very wide and vague number in my mind, because you have a lot of rural areas out there that are going to bring down numbers in your metro Atlanta area.
Right,
absolutely.
Right.
So you're not getting a good skew of what's going on. The Atlanta Board of Realtors, the ABR market brief, we put out monthly. And we also get numbers from a company like Steve Palm's company. And we do 11 counties, the core, metro Atlanta core counties, and this is a much more accurate number as far as what's going on in the Atlanta market. If you're looking for the Atlanta market area, it's fantastic. And we do that monthly. We don't put it out every 3 months. We put it out every month.
Well, that's important too. Much more timely data.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's much more timely, and it pays off. And we the Atlanta Board of Realtors wants to be the voice of real estate in Atlanta. And we're doing a great job at that. Like yourself, you called us up to come talk to you here on this radio show. I'm being interviewed by the AJC. I had a half page in the Atlanta Business Chronicle a couple of weeks ago. We're getting our name out. We're getting our word out. We want people to come to us, to our website, to abr.org, to find, you know, answers to that questions, to be a resource for real estate if you're either buying or selling.
Right. Now, I understand real estate is so critical for Atlanta, you know, for the people who live here in Atlanta. But we are talking to a lot of people in business, obviously, here in Atlanta, and they're all nervous and worrying about this T-SPLOST, the transportation thing that's floating around here. How does that? How are you guys involved with that?
Well, that's a great question. Thanks a lot for asking that question. That great segue into it. The Atlanta Board of Realtors a couple of weeks ago.
First, why don't you explain what that is and why people should be paying attention to it?
Sure, absolutely. The original transportation referendum. It's going to be on your ballot on July 31st of this year to vote on for a 1 cent sales tax to go specifically, and this is exactly what it'll do. It'll go directly to 157 transportation projects. In addition to those projects, 15% of the funds raised will return to local jurisdictions to address local priorities such as, you know, repaving sidewalks and traffic signals. This is imperative that we get this passed, and let me explain to you why it's imperative. Common sense tells you when you have jobs, people buy homes. Well, the number one reason why corporations don't move here to Atlanta, or a lot of them are not moving here to Atlanta anymore, is because of what?
Traffic.
Traffic is the number one issue.
And you guys would know that more than anybody.
You need to move this radio show another hour back. An hour later, let me sleep another hour.
Because none of your people mention traffic when they're thinking about a home, do they?
Oh, gosh, no. I tell you
they
what.
Don't care.
Traffic is huge here. So these corporations are not moving to Atlanta. They're not moving to Atlanta because of traffic. When corporations move here to Atlanta, they create jobs. When they create jobs, they create people who have security in their financial situations, which means that they will buy houses. And it goes on and on. It's very cyclical. We need to get these corporations. Atlanta needs to be a magnet for corporations to move to. And this T-SPLOST, this 1 cent sales tax,
right,
will go towards improving traffic in Atlanta.
Right. From what I've heard, there is no plan B. That this is plan A, B, and Z.
That's exactly right, and that's exactly why we need this passed.
Right.
And when is that vote? It's like July.
July 31st.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you're going to need to vote this year.
I'll be there. I'll be there. You're not the first person to say this is really important. I mean, a lot of folks that we're talking to just think this is critically important.
Right.
Yeah. It's incredible. You know, it's so important that NAR, National Association of Realtors, allotted money for this campaign to make public awareness, public aware about this, which is fantastic.
Now, a little bit shorter on the horizon, April 28th and 29th, you've got National Open House Weekend. Speak to that a little bit, if you would.
Yeah, NAR, National Association of Realtors, is sponsoring a nationwide open house, April 28th and 29th. Most agents, most realtors out there should be holding their houses open. It's kind of like a big camaraderie type event that so people, you know, can get out there and go from one house to another, and they know that it's pretty much open, and they can have a full day of just looking at houses if they're ready to buy something.
You in on that, Dan?
Yeah, we're definitely in on it. Last year we were in on it. We had over 500 houses throughout the metropolitan Atlanta open. We got contests going for agents and for sellers and for buyers, win iPads and stuff like that.
Right. Collaborating on this?
Yeah, if you're in the game of real estate, you ought to be having an open house that weekend. And if you're a consumer who's looking to buy or sell, there's not a better time to get out than the end of April to do it.
Speaking of collaborative, I find that, you know, we've been doing these real estate specials for the last few weeks. We're actually rolling out a show, Real Estate Atlanta, in the coming weeks. And we're finding real estate professionals very collaborative. That really surprised me. You guys get along pretty well and really try to help each other out.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the underlying core values of our realtor community is cooperation. If Mitch has got a listing and I got a buyer, we got to negotiate it to a successful conclusion to both parties. It's win-win or no deal. Not I win, he loses, or he wins, I lose. I mean, we want win-win for our clients and customers, so we absolutely are committed to collaboration and cooperation.
Absolutely. Let me just say something about that as well. As I said earlier, over 80% of the transactions are done by realtors.
Right.
When you do those kind of numbers, you're well-known out there. You sell houses. Other agents know that you sell houses. You know, an agent driving by, they'll see one of my listings out there, Mitch Kaminer. And they'll go, oh, I did a deal with him a couple of years ago. What a great guy. What a great guy. He gets up at 7:15 in the morning. I want to do a deal with him. Let's go look at his listing. You know, and you just don't know how it's going to play out. You just don't know. But you know, being a realtor and doing those numbers, putting those numbers up, you can't help but succeed. The failure is not an option in that realm. But also, while we're still talking to me about ABR and what we do is, you know, we do a lot of political advocacy. Okay, we do things. We're on Capitol Hill. We have two full-time lobbyists on Capitol Hill here in Atlanta. They fight for realtors' rights and they fight for private property rights. Okay, and I'll give you an example. There was a legislation on Capitol Hill, on mm-hmm. Capitol here in the state, basically saying this is a real cliff notes here. Basically saying that if someone comes onto your property and they have a gun. And they shoot somebody, the property owner is liable. And now that's residential and that's commercial. So you can imagine if you own a bar, you own a store. So that legislation is dead now. And that's
good.
We had a lot to do with that. We do things also like we had a sign ordinance issue with Sandy Springs here where we are right now talking. They were giving citations to realtors for putting signs in the right-of-way, and they didn't have qualified people who knew what the right-of-way was. So we had people go and negotiate with them and figure out a way how we could make that a win-win situation as well. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people want to be members of the Atlanta Board of Realtors. And you want to be part of this political advocacy machine. You want to be.
Well, I can tell you right now, as a layperson, I only want to do business with a true realtor. Just from this conversation this morning, what is the best way for people to learn more about the Atlanta Board of Realtors, and then also share with us your own practice?
Fantastic, thank you. A couple of different ways. Okay, if you want to get a hold of the Atlanta Board of Realtors, you can go to abr.org. And that is the website for the Atlanta Board of Realtors here in Atlanta. And you can click on a couple different links there, and they'll get you wherever you need to go. If you want to get a hold of me, Mitch Kaminer with RE/MAX Paramount Properties, feel free to give me a call on my cell phone because I will always answer it unless if I'm in a radio show. My phone number is 770-663-7536. That's my direct line, which forwards to my cell phone because I hate having voicemails. I'll just answer my phone all the time. I'm a little compulsive, obsessive, you know, which is great in business, but it's not so great in personal, but in personal life. But okay. And then also my email address, if you'd like to email me, it's sold, that's S-O-L-D, like you're selling something, at, and then it's all spelled out, winwithmitch, winwithmitch.com. And then my website is www.winwithmitch.com.
I like that. Winwithmitch.com. That is way cool.
Fantastic. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us, man. And I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to leave the mics open and probably invite you back to the last part of the conversation. We do have one other gentleman that we'd like to interview. And so bringing it home for us in this special edition of High Velocity Radio focused on the real estate scene here in Atlanta is a gentleman with Brand Mortgage. Welcome to the show, Rick Darlington.
Thank you.
Lean right in there and talk, almost kissing that microphone, Rick.
Happy to.
Just follow Mitch's lead. You just got to get it in there all over. So Brand Mortgage, we talked a little bit earlier in the program about interest rates, but also my concern, or at least my preconceived notion, that credit was very tight. What's the true skinny, man? What's happening out there with regard to mortgages?
I think the guidelines are still very tight. But there's, for people who are well qualified, there's a lot of options out there. There's a lot of lending. There's, you know, real estate's being sold. We're providing mortgages for them. It's a great opportunity, as Dan was stating earlier. So, you know, they're a little tighter than they were in the free days of 2004 and 2005 when all you had to do was fog a mirror.
That's when I got my last loan, Lee, by the way, just so you know. That's when we refied.
But there's a lot of opportunity and options out there.
And so where is your business coming from? Are you out knocking on doors? Are you advertising? Are you building relationships with folks like Dan and Mitch? How do you guys do your marketing?
All the above.
Yeah.
As a lender standpoint, you know, it's, as I think Dan was stating earlier, a lot of it is personal relationships. Who do you know? Referrals from past customers. Realtors are very important. Most lenders are out there, you know, knocking on doors, talking to the offices, talking to the realtors, working with them on the open houses that they do. So, you know, a lot of those types of things.
Well, I'm just thinking if I've got a house listed with Dan or a home listed with Mitch, I'm probably going to ask. I mean, I'm going to get to know them. I'm going to trust them. I know that they are a true realtor now that I know what to ask for. Mm-hmm. And then Dan was kind enough to give us a whole list of things that you ought to be looking for. I mean, once I have that level of trust in them, my next question is, where should I go for my mortgage, right? Dan, do you find yourself trying to partner with mortgage people? Or you got a handful that's like your go-to people?
We do. We have a mortgage alliance with SunTrust here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And they do all our mortgages, or it probably do about 30% of the mortgages in the company.
Right.
The other 70% are done by lenders like great lenders like Brand Mortgage and Richard out there in the marketplace.
And so, I mean, that's very important because, I mean, Lee, we don't know what to ask for, right?
Right.
Well, a huge issue here recently has been underwriting and getting deals done and dealing with dropping home values and appraised values and then just the Murata issues that I'm sure Richard can deal with as he works through it. That is the key, is finding someone credible who can get your deals done.
It seems to me that in this industry that the consumer, the person buying or selling the house, needs to kind of have a bunch of trusted advisors that can, you know, tell them the real deal. And it seems, based on what we've learned, is that it starts at the realtor is our first point of contact. That
is absolutely correct. I mean, it's a consultative sale process where the consumer has been empowered today more than ever before with all the tools out there in the marketplace. They can read reviews on mortgage guys, on realtors, on appraisers, on closing people, and, you know, work their way through the best and use the realtor kind of as the point guard to get the deal done.
And absolutely. Now, Rick, you are the grand poobah of the Mortgage Bankers Association here locally?
For the Atlanta Mortgage Bankers Association, yes.
So tell us a little bit about the association and the mission and purpose of that outfit.
Well, we roll up under the Mortgage Bankers Association of Georgia, and a lot mm-hmm. like Mitch's organization, you know, it's education and advocacy. We're teaching our originators and our members, you know, we go through an ethic training every year. We're going through licensing and education, you know, keeping them abreast of what's going on and promoting more professionalism within the marketplace. And we all roll up under the National Organization of the Mortgage Bankers Association.
And so you have periodic events where you get people together, or your crowd gets together every month, or how does that work on the ground?
We do a lot of education programs. There are a lot of different committees throughout the association, and so the education committee, the production committee, they're going to have their education classes throughout the month. We as an association meet monthly and roll up through that in association with the Mortgage Bankers Association of Georgia. And so through each month, we bring in special guests and speakers. Dan's come and spoken several times before, so has Steve with Smart Numbers. So, you know, we bring in different topics, people, you know, sometimes it's political. We've brought in Johnny Isaacson before to speak. You know, so it's just different education topics that we can go throughout the marketplace.
I just remembered. That's who sold me my home.
Johnny Isaacson.
Well, it was his. He came out and did the handshake after Susan Ouellette sold me the home. But he drove by and we got a little picture in the paper and the whole bit. So that's my Johnny Isaacson story.
That's great.
I hadn't thought about it. So if I get in trouble and this radio stuff doesn't keep paying the big bucks, you know, like it is now, and I get a couple months behind or, you know, get in a little trouble with the house, what should I do? Should I be calling somebody like you to get a little bit of counsel? What do you do if you're starting to get in trouble?
It's really two things. One, if you know a mortgage originator, please feel free to call them and talk to them. But the best place to go is to call your loss mitigation group at your servicer. So if it's a SunTrust or a Brand Mortgage or a Wells Fargo, you know, call the 800 number that's listed on there and ask for loss mitigation. They have teams of specialists that can help you walk through the process and give you your options.
Now, you know, a few years ago, there was a ton of mortgage people advertising on the radio nonstop about, you know, like I'd be an idiot if I didn't call them up. And these are like, anybody can do this. And, yeah, and you know, how has it, what's the shakeout? And was part of that shakeout the reason you decided to get involved with the Board of Realtors? Is that part of, you know, your growth as a professional in the industry? Do you wanted to kind of get some sanity back in there.
Well, a lot like Mitch, you get a, you know, a tap on the shoulder one day saying, you know, you need to give back, and you know, it's a great opportunity to do so. I started to, I've been in mortgages since the late 90s, been in the association since the early 2000s. It's a great place to meet other professionals,
right,
top people like Dan and Mitch and Steve. You build your network. Through that, we've been involved in the licensing and the education aspect of it. So in 2009, when the Congress came out with the SAFE Act, which is what governs mortgage licensing, right, these days, and registration, through the Mortgage Association, I was asked to participate in the testing committee from that and the setup of that. And so, you know, we were able to work with the committees, the different groups that helped put the test together to, you know, create a level of professionalism that everybody's going
to
meet.
So it's similar to what Mitch was saying about realtors and real estate agents. Now there's some level of professionalism or a certification or a...
There is a national – there's two things. There's national testing that you've, right, got to become licensed as a mortgage originator. If you work for a bank, then that goes through the banking level of your,
sure,
state. And then there's also different levels of education that you can get. You can become a certified mortgage broker. There's a certified mortgage lender designation all through the association.
And that's new, that wasn't in place like 5 years ago?
The SAFE Act was not in place. That came into touch in 2009 for a basic national license agreement.
Right.
But from the education standpoint, the certified mortgage lender and the certified mortgage banker associations, those designations have been in place for years through the national association.
So what's the deal with this harp thing? I hear that, but what is that about?
You know, it's not a musical instrument. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, that's exactly what I think when I hear about it. And, you know, you get these people and they throw these acronyms,
right,
around.
You go to the music store trying to refi your house.
Refi your mortgage.
Right.
Yeah. HARP stands for Home Affordable Refinance Program. Or HARP is where that comes from. And so it's a national program sponsored by, it's from Congress, and it sets out the guidelines for being able to refinance your property if you happen to be underwater, if it's a Fannie Mae or a Freddie Mac owned home.
Now, what if you're not underwater? Can you still refinance if you have a higher interest rate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It just, the HARP program is really designating for those people who are upside down and can't, uh-huh, qualify from that. But there's still lots of opportunities for people who have equity. It's still a great time to refinance. You know, rates are still at an all-time low.
Right.
You know, it's a good time to take advantage of that.
So what's the future, though? Is the refinance wave going to kind of ease off and now we're going to go back to more just purchases? Or do you have a feel for what the horizon looks like?
Well, I think over the last several years, there's just been thousands and thousands of millions of refinances.
Right,
a lot,
right,
of people have already taken advantage of those low rates. So I think it's time for those people to be going out and purchasing more homes, investment properties that we've heard people talking about today. I agree with everybody as they spoke earlier in the program. You know, rates are probably going to remain relatively low throughout the end of the year, but at some point in time, inflation's going to kick in. The election's going to be over. This beautiful window of opportunity we have is going to start to pass people by.
So now, regarding your company, if people want to learn more, is there a website for you guys?
Absolutely. The website for the company is www.brandmortgage.com. And me personally, it's rdarlington.brandmortgage.com.
And then if there's mortgage bankers or brokers that want to get involved with the GA, what is it, MBA?
It's the Mortgage Bankers Association, right, of Georgia. Yep. Their website is www.mbag.org.
And then what type of person are you looking for to become a member of that?
Looking for a mortgage originator, whether it be a broker company or through a lender, somebody who's already licensed typically. And if somebody wants to get into the business, we're happy to point them in the right direction for education and testing.
And you highly recommend it, I would imagine.
Absolutely, 100%. Mm-hmm. Like they were talking about with the National Association of Realtors, Atlanta Border Realtors, it shows you know, just a different level of professionalism of who you're dealing with.
So that's the place to go. Either go to your realtor and ask your realtor about a good, solid resource to go for your mortgage, and or go straight to this association. You know they're properly credentialed.
Absolutely.
Well, that's important counsel and,
right,
something that Lee didn't know before this show.
I did not know that.
Gentlemen, thank you all for joining us. This has been a very interesting, informative session, and I hope you'll come back and visit with us again sometime.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking.
Thank you very much.
Until next time, this is Stone Payton, Lee Cantor, our guests this morning, Dan Forsman, Steve Palm, Mitch Kaminer, and Rick Darlington, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family, saying we'll see you in the fast lane.